Hey, I'm Brock with Brock Entertainment, and this is the I Do IQ podcast, where each and every week we're going to be discussing the latest in wedding and event trends. And in the end, you will have the best wedding and event experience ever. This is the I Do IQ podcast. Let's begin.
What is up, everybody? It is Brock here with the I Do IQ podcast. Make some noise for Brittany Blue right there. And we have a very special guest today from the sous chef, Mr. Sous Chef himself, Justin. What's your last name, Justin?
Melanson? Yeah, there you go.
Melanson.
Yeah.
Hey, look at you go.
I always so just proud. Said Malone.
that's when he's calling me nice.
I just call him Justin.
One of my favorites. All right, before we get started, let's listen to something funny, okay? This is comedian Pete Lee talking about how expensive weddings are.
Oh,
here we go.
Oh, I'm so excited to be married to her, but like I don't like weddings because I'm a guy. And like I don't like them at all, and it's because we're paying for it, and it's gonna cost $30,000 of our own money, right? $30,000 for one day, that's crazy. Like, do you know how much cool stuff we could do with 30 grand in one day? We could wallpaper our apartment with iPhones. We could buy an above the ground pool and a seal. Teach it to high five, right? Like, hey, this beer is delicious.
It's true.
I'm just saying, that's way better than a wedding. We could rent the billboard that faces my cheating ex-girlfriend's apartment. And then we could put like a picture of Drew Brees and like the planet Saturn and my current fiance being like, whoa. And then it would say, yeah, all these things that have a ring, but you better. Don't. Yeah. For $30,000, we could rent the Jonas Brothers and a t-shirt cannon and shoot them with cups of hot coffee. Or worse, make them listen to their own music.
So that bit was from back in 2010. Thus, the Jonas Brothers.
$30,000. I was like, man, yeah. That's kind of average these days.
Right. Thus, the Jonas Brother joke to Andrew Brees.
Got it.
Not really on anyone's radar right now.
Jonas Brothers are touring right now.
I know, but Drew Brees. But and the Jonas Brothers aren't annoying anymore.
No, they're not annoying.
Back in the 2000s, very annoying.
I'll agree with
you
that.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, what was that song?
I don't know. I didn't listen to them back then.
Yeah, me neither. Justin did, though.
I have no idea.
He looks like the type for sure.
I took my Jonas Brothers poster down a long time ago.
All right, Justin, so you own the Sous Chef. How long have you guys been in business?
So about 2 years now.
Give us the backstory real quick. Like, how did we get to the Sous Chef?
Ultimately did corporate for a while, franchising, that kind of stuff. But really just came down to liking the style and experiencing it some and realizing what the where there's a need and kind of an accommodation. And it's creative, it's enjoyable, so it's really kind of fed into what I enjoy doing, which is both of those, also serving people. So,
and what do you think separates your business in catering to the other catering businesses in the area? What do you think?
I mean, there's some great other caterers in the area.
Yeah,
some good folks. They do good work, but I'd say setting us apart specifically would say. Comes down to us accommodating people and really listening to them and what they want. You know, even if it's something as simple as a bride being like, I'm going to fist fight somebody if I don't have chicken tenders at my
You
wedding.
Get those chicken tenders.
They will get chicken tenders, you know? So, you know, doing that, but then also kind of taking it in a realistic sense on how we can make that happen the day of, because that's important. And, you know, ensuring that the communication's there and just really the vision, just kind of like Brittany does, you know, listening to them on what they can describe, what they want to feel and what they want to see. And how do we just play a small role in that to make it feel and look that way? So I'd say that's our biggest thing, you know, to really bring that vision to light.
You know what I love most about them, Brittany?
What?
Is when they know I'm going to be there, they take care of me.
Yes.
And bring me my own dish.
I always take care of my vendors.
Yeah, no, but when they know that Vegan Brock is going to actually be the one DJing, they're like, all right, we got you covered.
Yeah.
And well, it makes my day. Huh?
Same goes for me with my gluten-free stuff.
Yeah. And for the past 2 years, for my anniversary, they have come over to my house and made us a home-cooked meal. Yeah, like a 5-courser, which
That's
Ash is like,
so
I can't
sweet.
Eat all this food. And I'm like, I can. It's so
Wait, we need to talk
good.
About doing that then sometime.
It is so good.
My anniversary is right around the corner. Yeah.
So, well, your husband has to plan it.
No, my husband can't plan anything.
There you go.
They're
not
going to
be there.
I love him to death. I love
They're not
going to
come.
Death.
I'm sorry. They're not going to be there.
I asked Eric what he wanted to do this year. because it's our 10-year anniversary.
Yeah, nice.
And I go, do you want to go on vacation, which I really thought he was going to choose, or do you want to throw a party?
Or do you want to just sit at home and watch Love is Blind?
Right? No, but he chose to throw a party. And I go, really? Oh.
So now you get to plan a party.
Right?
This is what I do for a living. Like, I really thought he was going to choose vacation.
That answer was incorrect.
You know what, though? It is turning out to be amazing. We're going to have like 85 people there. It's going to be
nice.
Fun. Yeah.
Heck when
yeah.
he said throw a party, you're like... Nope.
Wrong.
That's the wrong answer. You chose
but
wrong.
His reasoning was because he wanted to celebrate around the people that we love the most.
Oh,
I know.
That's a good reason. He probably
darn
Googled
him
it.
For being
still a wrong
so
answer.
Sweet.
That is the wrong answer. I just want to celebrate you. Yeah. I just want time with you
on a beach somewhere.
He can't sit still. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
that person that, like, he can't. That's why he never worked in a desk job.
That's why we need to do a vacation as couples. Then you and Ashton can hang out.
Yes.
And me and him
and then
can
you
hang
and
out.
Him can go do your thing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, we're not just going to sit on this beach. We're going to
totally
go play volleyball.
I would love to go sit on a beach and read a book. Like, that's what I want to do.
That's Ashton.
Yeah.
That's so boring to me.
That is amazing to me. I
just
get peace
sitting
and
in
quiet
one spot
and being able to read my book. That's yeah.
When we went to Hawaii, she sat on the beach.
That sounds
and
amazing.
I went and surfed the whole time.
Nice. No, I'd be with Ashton.
Like, you're just sitting
I'd go
here.
Out to snorkel for a little bit, but yeah.
She's like, oh, I'm living the dream life. I'm just hanging out, chilling. I'm like, oh, God,
you can
I'm
read
so
at
bored.
Home.
Yeah. I'm so
no,
bored.
Because we got kids running around that's at fair. Home.
All right, back to food. What are you seeing, Justin, as the trends in, you know, food for weddings this year? Because I have a whole list here and I'll see if it.
Yes, obviously charcuterie is just something for the last, you know, at least 2 to 4 years.
People are loving the charcuterie. What do you put on your charcuterie board? That
well, we do it so we can keep it cost effective. We just try and stick with things that you can get locally, but also fresh, you know, because it, depending on the seasons, you know, something's just not going to be as good or just not accessible. So, you know, the hard meats, the cheeses, those obviously, you know, I've got a good friend, Jessica Thibodeau, that likes to take the cheeses and find them in her pocket the next day. So, and those are shout out to
that
Jess.
Means the cheese is good.
So I mean, really, I think the novelty around it that's popular is because you can give options without having to sit there and pick a bunch. You can give options to your guests that have different dietary needs, so that if all three of us are at one event, we all three can have something.
I love that about charcuterie.
Yeah, plus. And you know, looking at the aspect of, you know, the back end of it, if you're not doing that, then ultimately they'd have to find something that would work for all three of us because we all eat differently. So.
Yeah,
that's a big trend. I also see a lot of folks trying to make the reception more of a party, more of a cocktail party, more of a casual, you
know,
still
the
right setting.
Stuffy sit down dinner.
Yeah, they still want the right the right feeling, but that feeling is more of not the hey folks, we're gonna either serve you dinner at your table or you know buffet line, but it's more of we're gonna have these hors d'oeuvres available for you to get at your convenience. And we'll pass them around.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
So more kinda, stations, interactive.
Exactly. Yeah. Way more interactive, more of those, you know, smaller bites, that kind of stuff. You know, and another thing too, and this is something I've seen, especially the last 2 years, different things that people can't eat. You know, alpha gal is on the rise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gluten is, you know, probably twofold more apparent, things like that. So doing those styles as well kind of accommodate folks in different ways. And it's not just here's your food and we had to make something different for you because you eat differently.
Right. Yeah. So. Like I just spoke to somebody. It was a consultation the other day. And, you know, I was like, was it a consultation or were we already moving forward? I can't even remember anymore. So many phone calls. But we were talking about catering and I was like, well, like, are there any allergies or dietary restrictions? That she goes, well, no, we will eat anything. But my mom is like a vegetarian. One of our bridesmaids, like she is gluten-free, soy-free, you know, whatever. But they're really sweet. And like, it's okay if they have to do something. I was like, no. Like, we will figure something out so that they're not feeling singled out and have to have a completely different meal.
Right.
Like, even if their stuff has to be prepared off-site because of their dietary restrictions, we're still going to make them feel like they're part of this day and they're not being singled out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's good. Let's go through this list.
Yeah.
Tell me what you think. Number one, butter boards.
What?
Butter boards.
No, I heard you. What is that?
You know what a butter board is?
I've never heard of that.
I've seen it a few times. We've never done one. I've actually never even had somebody request one before.
It is.
Mind you, and we've talked about this before on our podcast, but Arkansas is about 5 years behind on all wedding trends.
So this is actually kind of cool.
Need to start stocking up on some butter.
Yeah.
It's a board, almost like a charcuterie board, but you put butter on it. You can put different flavors of butter. You can add spices and whatever, and people just dip their bread in it.
That's kind of amazing, unless you're gluten-free.
They can be gluten-free bread.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. So that is on the rise, like bread and butter service, I guess.
You know what, though? For people that, like the partiers that are drinking a lot, that's not a bad idea.
No, no. Just have there throughout the night. Yeah,
that sounds
good.
Really good.
All right, number two, comfort food.
Yes.
Couples are infusing their menus with nostalgic, comforting dishes that hold a special place in their heart.
Absolutely. Seeing a ton of that.
What's the best comfort food at
a
wedding?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese?
Yeah.
You or love
mashed
that?
Potatoes. Yeah.
Definitely our mashed potatoes.
Yeah. I love when people do mashed potato bars, and so people can, because not everybody wants like the bacon and whatever. Some people just want some sour cream and cheese or whatever. But I think giving people that option, and especially when it's served in like a cute little like glass or something, people love that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They go crazy for it.
It used this example, like if you're from Chicago, you could have Chicago hot dogs, Italian beef sandwiches.
Yeah.
Or if you live in the New England area, you have lobster rolls, clam chowder, oysters, stuff like that.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. All right. Number three. This is along with a charcuterie board, grazing table.
Yes. Yep.
A whole huge table.
Yes. Yeah. I personally think it looks better than a charcuterie board just because it, like, you don't have like a 6 foot table that just has like a 4 foot board on it.
Right, right, right.
And it just, it feels more full, especially for a bigger crowd. And so that's what I tend to recommend versus just like a board of something. But
I love the look of this table here. Yeah. There's so much. Yeah. Man, I want those blackberries. I would like that, those blueberries right there.
I'm so hungry right now.
Oh, so a bowl of green olives.
No, you lost me at olives.
Lots of bread.
I'm not an olive person.
Really?
Yeah.
Not black or green?
Mm-mm.
See, I wasn't an olive person until in the last year or two.
I don't like olives.
I like green olives. Mm-mm. I just went as far as to buy a whole box of, they're like grilled green olives.
Nope.
You want to try them?
Nope.
We'll try them after the show.
Will not.
Individual servings.
Of what?
Of anything.
Like hors d'oeuvre style?
Like hors d'oeuvre style, yeah.
So like
just
stations.
Little tiny...
Yeah. Yeah.
Tiny
yeah.
things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People are really into that right now. Number five, interactive food stations.
Yes.
So give us an example.
Like a meat carving station where they're doing something other than just like, you know, it's like just slice, like something. There's a caterer out of Little Rock that's doing like a big flame, like tomahawk steak carving station. Yep. Stuff like that. People love to see like things happening. We're doing a wedding later this year where we're having pizza ovens.
That's what this picture shows.
Yeah. So we're like, people are going to be able to see the pizza, like the pizza's being
cool.
done in the ovens. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
I really like that.
Yeah. Some of the ones that we've done, we did a crepe station a couple weeks ago. We do Bananas Foster's. One of the ones we've done a few times
now. Does that make it harder on you having to do it there though?
Not necessarily harder. It does require having the tools to be able to do it.
Staffing.
Yeah. It's the staffing is really what it comes down to. If anything, it's probably less prep, but because you're going to do some of it there, but it's more of the space and accommodating it and stuff like that, which we try and be pretty self-sufficient. But one of the ones that folks have liked to see and be a part of is a s'mores station.
Yes.
Oh, I love it. I'm so into s'mores right now.
We're doing one this weekend in Hot Springs.
I would just make them at home myself.
People love doing that. And it's such a great way to like get them like moving and doing something. Or, you know, they've just spent an hour and a half on the dance floor and they need a little more substance, you know, being able to like those late night snacks.
Well, that brings us to number six, late night snacks.
I was going to say, because you and I just did one last year where we had like a whole slew of late night snacks with grilled cheese and cookies and milk and popcorn.
I love that.
It was a huge hit.
Yeah.
Is that the best late night snack you've had?
Yeah, probably.
Like I've been to weddings
grilled
with
cheese.
Taco Bell.
Yeah. Everything was gluten-free because the couple was gluten-free. Yeah.
So you're like
so
eating like crazy.
Even
the grilled cheese was gluten-free.
Let's go. You're like,
We did a late night that was like six different types of like mini hot dogs. We did Chicago style.
I love that. I don't even eat hot dogs. I just love that. Like it brings in, and I don't know if I've said this, I'm sure I've said this before on the podcast, but you know, a wedding is a celebration of the couple individually as well. And so like bringing in, you know, if one is from Chicago or one is from Philly or something and doing like a Philly cheesesteak of some sort, just to like tie it back to who they are.
Right.
I think that's such an easy way to do it through food.
Well, years ago, I did a wedding where the late night snack was Cold Stone Creamery. Yeah. They brought him in because that's, I think, where they met.
That's adorable.
Cold Stone.
Yeah. I love
it. So it brought in their story and everyone's like, we love Cold Stone.
We've done Whataburger before because like it was like where they went like after their first date, like after a game or something.
Whataburger, you've had McDonald's.
We did that for a cocktail hour
before where their first date was a Buffalo Wild Wings. So
that's so great.
We did boneless wings and wings and some different sauces and stuff for cocktail hours.
Why don't more Oh, I was like, why don't more people do wings? And I was like, because it's messy.
It's yeah, they're tough to hold because they get soggy. It's
well,
kind of like
yeah, right. As soon as they yeah.
So I mean, the late
get them while they're hot. Get them while they're hot. Yeah.
So hungry
the late night
right
trend.
Now.
There's a lot of people. It's a trend. It's trendy, and it's kind of that back and forth. Whenever I have conversations about it, is you know, and my take on it is they're popular in concept, but the actual idea of the you know, return on investment. They're cool. People really like the look of them, but mm-hmm. they walk right by it. Because if you do it's the true. Catering right, they're full. They're still full.
Right,
you
right,
know,
right.
And, you know, naturally they're going to go, like the one that we did together, it was great. It looked cool. It was outside. You know, there was, what, 150 people yep. there. There were probably 30 people that went through there and actually yeah. ate something. A lot of people walked by and thought it was cool. But it was just, you know, so it's one yeah. of those of, I think you do have to be intentional with it. Yeah. Make it.
If
who
you're
you
having,
are.
If you're having, yeah. like, if you're having a really heavy meal, which I don't always recommend for a wedding anyways, because you want your guests to feel kind of like light or whatever. Yeah. Like, just be cognizant, like, maybe the late night snack isn't for you. Exactly. However, if you are like set on having a late night snack, have a lighter dinner.
Yeah.
And that way people end up eating the yeah. late night snack.
Or even the late night light, like the popcorn. Great.
Yeah.
That's something you can grab and go. Something
absolutely.
You can get and do. So I agree. I think it's just
keeping it in mind.
Yeah. It's yeah. a whole opportunity because the whole day is, as I say, is you're spending a lot of time and money and effort for a 15-minute ceremony. Hour if you're Catholic.
It's true.
You know, so yeah. it's like, okay, so how can you make everything about it be an intentional thing? So just like you said, you know, hey, if this is y'all, do it. Do it at the end of the night. You want that feeling, you want to do it. Just be intentional about the whole thing and
yeah.
it'll tie it together and it works out. You know, not that late night, we've done plenty of late night, but it's just kind of the concept around making it what you want it to be.
Right.
And I
right.
think that comes down to the communication with your guests too. Cause sometimes, you know, and I think she could probably agree, you kind of got to walk people through it.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're doing. And so being able to say, hey, make sure you talk to Brock and let him know, you know, we get halfway through the reception, uh-huh. remind him, hey, we're going to have a late night food tonight.
Hey, Taco
you know.
Bell just got here. Let's
exactly.
go.
Yeah. You know,
communicate. We got hard and soft tacos. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know?
And I think that goes down to the whole experience throughout the night too. And Brock does a great job of that, of interacting and reading the room and just kind of communicating what's coming up. So I think, you know, when folks are designing the things, when they don't, you know, I know Brittany does that great, but some people just try and do it themselves. That's another trend is the do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, don't get us on that, which is okay. Everybody's got a budget, but you know, just kind of, you know, taking that concept of how do we be intentional, but you know, yeah. you could do something better
use
for cocktail hour. Yeah. You can do something better for cocktail hour and do something small for your late night if you want, but
yeah.
I like that.
Like a lot of people I've seen have chosen to do a late night versus like a favor.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which you know how we feel about favors.
No, we do not yeah. like favors.
Number seven, local produce.
Okay.
How much do you use local that. Produce?
Yeah,
we try to.
There's a couple up and coming folks. Of course, there's a mainstream person or two that's still local here that we use as often as we can. One of the biggest ones for us that probably every one of our clients will experience is Grow NWA. They do microgreens.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm actually chatting with her after this. She's got an event or something she wants to collab on, but
awesome.
They're awesome and they're local. Very like they hand do everything themselves.
Oh, wow.
But that's one that just about everybody that works with us. We'll see their stuff because it's a good yeah. garnish, but also it brings flavor like the basil microgreens that we do on caprese's and stuff. It really just kind of ties it together. So that's another concept about local
okay.
is sometimes it's not just everything. Like we do a fermented honey too and trying to find local people to get some of the local honey.
The
for that.
Fermented honey yeah. is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
have you tried it?
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you say yeah?
Because it sounds amazing.
Well, you got to try it. You just are just talking out your butt now.
Well, that's fine.
I like number eight on this list, plant-based menus. I am really into that.
Yeah.
I'm really into it. This person says, I anticipate a move away from menus that only accommodate some guests and require special dietary exceptions to be made, which is what yep. we talked about earlier.
Right.
So it incorporates it all. So,
yeah.
you know, this.
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't really separate it.
Yeah. Well, there's that actually we've done. And quite a few that are the entire thing is vegan or vegetarian. And, you know, obviously you get into that conversation in your habits, but there, I mean, there's a whole one we did that they were like, we want everything to be vegan, but we're not telling anybody. And so
that is smart.
And they
that
did
is
it.
Smart.
Yeah, they did.
Because most of the people would never know.
Exactly. And actually at the end, they were, you know, they did everything. They thanked everybody. And they're like, just so you know, everything you ate today was vegan.
And
so
then people are like,
it's possible.
No. I can't believe you did this to me. You're like, exactly. No, but it was all fresh and good food.
Exactly.
No, exactly. But why? Why?
Right? And that's
that's how my kids are. Is this vegan? Yeah, it's an apple. Oh, I'm not eating it. Oh, gross.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's just some fruit. Oh, bleh, it's gross. I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
And the Oscar does not go to.
Right. No, that truly is my kids, though. Yeah. You say the word vegan and they have such a, because they don't really know what that means.
Right.
And they're like, nope, not eating it. Like, it's a piece of bread.
Right.
So you're eating a sandwich. It's got meat on it, but bread.
I think a lot of that, and the conversations I've had, obviously, with you as well, but too often with vegan food, it's because, A, you a lot of times are getting scraps. So like, you can just have the salad, you know?
Like, and I don't want just lettuce.
Right. And so, and the other thing that I've personally found, because I don't obviously eat vegan, if you look at me, but we just kind of going through the process of a lot of vegan food just doesn't have flavor. It's just not seasoned well.
Right.
And I think it's more of a fear. It's more of a, I don't want to add something they can't eat. Well, that's fine. Just know what you're putting on it. And that's where a lot of those end results that people get are just the processed bland food, when really you can just get something fresh and just church it up. Like, one of the things we did for yours was a smoked cannellini bean appetizer.
It was really
you know, and
it was
just
so good.
Little things. And it's just saying, hey, make sure that the components has flavor, whether it's how you cook it or how you season it, and it'll be great. And nobody can tell. I mean, unless you tofu kind of will scream at anybody whenever people are eating.
I like tofu.
It's my favorite.
Yeah.
We used
to make a tofu curry every week.
It just absorbs whatever flavors you put on it.
Yeah, it really does.
It's very versatile. It's just been given a bad rap.
Exactly.
Agreed. Well, if people don't know to drain it.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it's all mushy and it's so spongy. I'm like, you got to get the water out.
Exactly.
Got to get the water out. Number nine, plated dinners. Yes. How much are we seeing plated dinners?
That's never gone away. That's the thing.
Yeah. But more, like, they're becoming more and more plated dinners.
I haven't personally seen it become more. It's really kind of like 50-50 still. Yeah. I don't know that that's ever going to go away.
I think
it went away, but it's hot right now. It's a trend.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure I'd call it a trend because it's just never.
I haven't seen much of an increase, but I've had a substantial amount more people asking about it. And then that we walk through the process of, hey, what are the advantages and disadvantages of it?
What are they?
I mean, both of them have both. And so ultimately, if you do a plated dinner, there's more work up front for the couple as well as the planners and stuff to be able to get what they want and how you're going to accommodate them and compile that stuff. And then how you're going to execute it the day of with a name tag and an indicator and stuff.
Right.
So you have to have that.
And having enough service. Too,
exactly.
So that people aren't waiting 2 hours for their dinner.
Exactly. Right. And kind of doing that. And so that's an advantage or a disadvantage, but it does come off as a little more elegant and a little bit nicer if you do buffet style, you can still help assist serve it. You know, everybody's got that Uncle Eddie that'll come through the line and fill their plate, but we'll still assist serve it, but you can be more accommodating. You can deconstruct some things and folks can get something that they would have already had on the plate. If like our Tuscan chicken's a popular one, and you can get it with no sauce if you do buffet style.
Oh, that's a good call.
That kind of stuff. So it does come down to the accommodating. So when walking through that process with a lot of folks, I think in concept, they like the feeling, and I'll always default to that feeling. Yep. And walking through it, they'll look at it and offset and go, well, it is a lot more work. How can we make this buffet style still create that feeling? And doing that comes down to working with the planner and just really saying, well, hey, this is what it looks like. And let's make sure maybe we add one person instead of three or four, and we'll have an extra person on that line. So it looks a little bit better.
That's cool.
Or something. Yeah. So.
Very cool. Number 10, post-wedding brunch. You do a lot of those?
I don't really. We did one for our wedding. That was 10 years ago. So,
What are you doing for this wedding?
Well, actually, we're doing a post-wedding brunch.
There we go. So it is
a
thing.
Well, for us, it is. It's just, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people are coming in for out of town for us. So being able to see them again before they leave or whatever, if the construction is minimal in my house, we're going to have people over. If not, we'll just meet out somewhere. But
you sit in your car in the driveway.
We'll bring you bagels. But I see, I see like the bridesmaids brunch a lot, like the day before or the morning of. I'm not seeing a ton of like post-wedding brunches. A few. just not a ton, because it is extra money that they're spending or true. That the family is spending. And so it is the people that have the larger budgets that are able to accommodate that. But I've always, if you have a lot of people from out of state, I always feel like it's a nice touch.
I like it.
Even if they're meeting somewhere and paying for their own brunch, it's just giving them the option.
Number 11, street food.
Yeah.
Where you get food, you throw it on the street, and then you serve it.
Mm-hmm,
is that how that works?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly how that works. You should go work for a sushi.
I love street food.
No, yeah, I think it's great.
I think the concept around that is like food trucks.
Yeah.
I think
that's, people love a good food truck.
Yeah. And there's that is a trend, and just going into it, having three or four food trucks or two food trucks or one, and that it parks right outside. People go get
people
it.
People love that.
Yeah. There's another one kind of the same idea where you can still do your typical food, but people have an ice cream truck come.
Oh, that's cool.
Or they'll have, especially in the summertime.
Yeah.
You know,
or and the snow cone guy. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And those are some of the late night things that I suggest.
Because, especially in the summer.
Yeah. We're just like, hey, you know, you expect dinner to be.
People are drenched in sweat after dancing, especially if it's an outside wedding. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you just have them roll up 10 o'clock and they'll serve for an hour and
easy.
People get it. And that's probably the most popular is doing something like that. Snow cones, that kind of stuff.
I have a guy that I want to come to my 10-year wedding anniversary, like Brittany. Saw him on a video out of India. He was making street food, but he's, you know, they sit and they just have the big vat and he's making this thing. It looked real good. So and cool. There's rats coming in and...
Oh, good.
So cool. And there's running rats everywhere.
Talk about an experience.
The rats were running everywhere and they were tasting the food. Then they run off and he's serving it to people.
Oh, I can't take him anywhere. So
that guy will be at my 10-year.
Oh, good.
Maybe he'll bring the rats. Or do I have to provide my own?
You probably have to provide your own.
Yeah. I'm looking for a good rat guy. You got your rats? And the last one on the list, wedding food trends, a sushi bar.
I've seen that.
I haven't yet.
I have not seen it either. Yeah. Not in this area.
Not in this area. And I'm
I know we live close to the water where we get a lot of fresh fish.
I'm just not sure we will. And it's like, it is such like polarizing is not the right word, but like there are a lot of people out there that don't.
That
like,
just hate sushi.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like either.
Well, mainly they don't know what sushi is.
Right. Or they're very particular. They just like their California roll or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So it's very, because I used to be one of those, like, you know, 15 years ago.
Then you grew up.
And then I grew up.
An adult.
Yes, yes, I did. I was introduced to it the wrong way, though. Like, I was introduced to it with like a piece that was like eel, and they were like, I know you're not gonna like this, but try it anyways. And I was
start
like,
small.
Right. But then I met Eric, and then he introduced me the right way. So we're all good now.
Yeah.
We love our sushi. But yeah, I'm just not sure that's ever gonna be a big one out here.
Yeah, that's one of the three things I say we don't do. And
it's
so
particular.
It is, and it's very difficult to do off site. You have to have, you know, just with the temperatures and things
you
like that.
You don't want it to be hot.
Being able to do it, and then you're gonna have to have those folks doing it on site. So that's,
I feel like there's too much of a liability to just like somebody getting sick.
It is just holding it. And a lot of the venues, you know, they have some coolers here and there. So, you know, it's like trying to keep your stuff on an ice chest.
Yeah.
So it's just honestly usually not worth it. And but some of the ones I've seen are with in-house kitchens or catering where they can do it straight from their kitchen and then just replenish and pass it around. Past is really where I've seen it, where it's like a past hors d'oeuvre, past appetizer, that kind of stuff.
Like that.
So okay.
Where it's, and then they just kind of control what they're making and it's not just a smorgasbord of everything.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense.
That's what I've seen.
I feel like if we were on a coast or something, it would be different. You know, it's fresher. People are more more used to it. Accustomed. There's the word I was looking for. Accustomed. I was almost said accommodating. But yeah, like being in a landlocked state where, you know, not everybody's as open.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sushi?
Oh.
Just a random question. Like, what do you love? Like, I love a good tuna roll.
I love a good tuna roll. I love like a good spicy tuna.
Yeah, spicy tuna. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Yeah,
so good.
But I'm like always open to trying some of the other things too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anytime, like good, like, since rainbow I'm vegan,
roll,
since I'm vegan and don't eat fish, it's hard for me to get a good mock roll, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But there was a great place in San Francisco that we went. So good.
Yeah.
And then a place in New York.
I believe it.
That we went. And then there's a place in Las Vegas that sells sushi rolls. Like burritos, sushi burritos.
I've seen those,
yeah. It's so good. And I always go by and get one of those.
That sounds amazing. Yeah.
So.
I can't eat those.
But what's your favorite sushi place in Northwest Arkansas? Sushi House?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
I love
so back house. In. So this is random.
Although we just went to the one that's on the square a couple weeks ago.
It was and good
it was,
too.
It was really good. Yeah. Nice.
So the sushi house, the guy named John owns it, and he loves karaoke.
I believe it.
And in the 2000s, we would have a young professionals night there every other week, which is crazy. The people that went to that are now like huge in their industries and whatever they were. Every other Tuesday night for $20, John would give us all you can eat sushi. And then we could stay as long as we wanted.
That's nice.
Wow. Like it closed at 8 or 9, but he's like, stay as long as you want. We'd sing karaoke and drink sake and tear the place down. It was awesome. That and then we made great. Shirts with his name or his face on it.
Aww.
Says Sushioki King. And he wanted to sell them, but I'm like, I just made it for fun. And he got one and it was his face, John, singing karaoke. He loved the song Red Red Wine. Yeah.
All right.
Good times.
All right, then.
Sushi. All right. That's our list.
That's the list.
Those
that's
are the wedding trends. Am I missing anything, Justin?
No. I think that's pretty encompassing. I think I think people are getting away from the barn themes.
Yeah.
So I think the trend is a little bit more elegant, a little more nature-based.
Was that ever a trend with the barn thing? Churn your own butter?
No.
You want to take some butter home? Churn your own butter. You have a cow there. You have milk the cow.
A maid in the corner just churning butter. Talk about an action station.
Me, during a cocktail
here,
hour.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head at these
go ask
two.
Margaret for the butter.
Churn your own butter. And at the end of the night, we'll have put it in a fridge and you can take it home with you. That could be a
it's
thing.
A great favor.
There you go. Justin, tell us about your business. Where can we find you? Where can we get a hold of you?
So the souschef.co. Definitely check us out on social media, online, that kind of stuff. We're in Bentonville, but you know, we go all over the area,
all over the world.
Not yet. So
eventually,
but yeah, hopefully I can just start scoping out places all over the world. But yeah, no,
that'd be fun.
But ultimately, yeah, we're in Bentonville, and you can check us out online. There's avenues across the board there to reach out, because you know, it's a process. It's it's a lot of questions. It's a lot of how do we help, and you know, that's what we like to do.
They're great at what they do. If you love great food, hit up Justin. A great team over there.
Yep, thanks. They're great. We love them.
All right, that's all we got. I'm hungry now.
I'm starving.
He's wearing his apron,
he's
so
ready to go.
Maybe we can go down in my kitchen and find out what I have, and he could just make us something. All right, have a good one.
Bye.
See ya.
Thanks so much for listening, and make sure to subscribe and expect a new exciting episode each and every week. Please follow us on social as well at IDOIQPodcast. If you have a guest recommendation or a topic you would like to hear discussed on the podcast, please let us know. The IDOIQ Podcast is recorded at the Civil Republic Production Studio in Bentonville, Arkansas, and produced by me, Brock. For more information about Brock Entertainment, visit DJBrockEntertainment.com. Thank you again, and we'll see you on the next episode.